the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Should end it. Bogarts gathers it in. Red Sox up 2-0. 4-2 win in game two. And David Price has won back-to-back starts.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die.
You better hope the season ends over the weekend, and we're stretching this until next week.
Yeah, it's going to end over the weekend, believe me.
So you're thinking sweep?
Or five games.
Or five games.
Okay.
But then you have to deal with the song on Monday morning.
Oh, it's going to be, if they win, it's going to be played Monday morning.
Yeah, I can deal with it on Monday.
And the parade.
I actually like, this song has gotten, it's not like I hate the song, but it's not something that you can put in rotation.
All right,
so
I'm a Red Sox fan, I can hide. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can hide.
Young Sickly Nicholas will go. He goes out, and he went out last night, but he also went out for Game One, and that's the James Taylor did the big national anthem.
We played this later in the show, and it's one of my favorite Red Sox recaps in a while. So for the people who missed it, we're going to do you a little treat here.
All right, here you go.
Jesus for the radio.
Are you mad?
What do you think about the Red Sox tonight?
We beat the shit out of the Dodgers. There's no other questions.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw is Sox.
Manny Machado, do you think he's...
Sox? Oh, that's my friend.
Hi, friend.
98.5 is good, too.
What do you think about the Red Sox win?
What's going on?
His friend just showed up.
Okay.
Yeah, his friend just 98.95 is good, too.
Red Sox is soft.
Lay off.
Baseball needs to shorten the game, or we're
Park.
Done.
Talk about
but go
Park.
Sox. What are your thoughts about Fenway Park? Tear it down. Parking lot, new stadium, more World Series.
Why?
Tear this hole down.
Why?
The seats are too small for us fat people.
Amen.
He's right.
Amen.
He's right. And if by fat you mean 180 pounds.
Yeah.
If you're a human being.
I barely fit into these things. Jesus.
If you're a human, they're tough to fit into
seats. I might
have
the world's smallest ass. And I can't fit into those seats.
Even the new ones.
I literally, technically, I guess it is an ass. But it's like a juicy little pear. And even I can't fit in the seat. Mm.
I just like how he just has this moment of honesty. Where
the seats are too small for us fat people.
Well, sure, yes,
tear it down.
Are.
There should be an owner of the Red Sox that is not as skinny as John Henry. There should be a big fat owner.
Right.
That smokes cigars and wears a monocle.
Tear it down.
Monocle.
He's not kidding. Because
first off, can we use this for the radio?
Please use this for the radio.
Yes.
Tear this stadium down. Everyone that works here is soft. The Dodgers are terrible. The ALCS was the championship. And go Celtics, okay? Because that's the only team that can keep the game under 3 hours.
What are your thoughts on James Taylor? He's saying the national anthem.
I'm sick of James Taylor. JT! Get somebody else in here. That JT's part of the problem.
I just like that you're just referring to him as JT.
Right, I'm immediately going to. Of course, Mr. Timberlake. It all of a sudden made James Taylor cool again.
Well, how do you know he's not talking about the former lead singer of Kool and the Gang? You don't know this. It could be anything.
Is that JT?
That's right.
Wow.
But if you're not a fan of James Taylor, you just start calling him JT. Doesn't seem right.
Maybe it's he whose name shall not be spoken. He's so pissed off.
Oh, well.
It's like Voldemort.
Oh, and I just, like, opened up some app on my phone, and it said, like, James Taylor sucks was the news story.
You just hit a f***ing nerve. F*** JT. He can't sing. He needs the guitar to keep his rhythm. That was bullshit. I'm sick of his s***. I'm sick of JT. That was bullshit.
Just
put that on the f***ing radio.
All right, all right.
JT, you want to know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that. And so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
And then his parents come up.
Yeah, FJT.
That's an all-timer, man.
Even my parents.
They're supposed to like that trash. And even they thought it sucked.
It sucked.
Oh. I'll tell you, James Taylor's no meatball.
You got to find this guy again tonight. Nick, you got to find him again tonight.
Doesn't sound like he wants to go back.
You want to know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that, and so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
Who do you want to sing the national anthem for game two?
Cardi B. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know who I want. Anyone but JT. Dropkick Murphys.
Camilla.
Get some real power out here. Dropkick Murphys.
All right.
I'd like more than four innings out of our number one tonight. Pedro would have gone more than four innings, okay? So we can have anybody else on the mound.
Wow.
Who do you want on the mound?
He's not
Price
crazy.
Is unconscious.
He's not crazy.
Price
He's not
is gonna
stupid.
Price is gonna go eight innings shutout in game two.
Wow.
And I'm gonna come back here
Who's
and we're gonna burn
this?
Fenway down.
Who's
the last
this?
Home game
Get
ever
you
at Fenway Park.
Get you
tomorrow
out.
Night, David Price,
we'll
game two
count online.
Shut it down. Bet Get a new stadium.
Get
Moving
the your wallets out.
The Bet Red Sox.
On the Sox.
Let's go.
Waiting.
The better than
tomorrow
Dodgers.
Night, game two.
We got plenty
Los
to
Angeles
go.
Los Angeles Dodgers.
Love you.
Oh.
Goodbye. I love you.
Thank you and good night.
I just love the fact he goes, yeah, shut it down, burn it down. Let's move it to Foxborough. Okay, well, maybe we don't.
Let's slow down with that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's perfectly well located. It's just a dump.
Oh, that guy. Shall we relive a uncomfortable moment from last night?
Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome the performer of our national anthem. Beyond the Grammys, beyond the platinum and the gold, beyond the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this wonderful singer-songwriter is known and loved throughout the world, but nowhere as much as from Stockbridge to Boston. Won't you please welcome home the legendary James Taylor.
See, can you see by the dawn's early light?
I'm sick of James
What's
Taylor.
So brightly
get somebody else in here.
The
JT's part of the problem.
Gleaming,
you just hit a
whose
nerd.
Broad stripes and bright star through the perilous fight.
JT, he can't sing. He needs the guitar to keep his rhythm. That was bullshit. I'm sick of his
shit.
I'm sick of JT. That was bullshit.
And the Rockets red glare the bombs.
Just put that on the radio. JT. You want to know what I think about James Taylor singing the national anthem? That was dog shit. I'm more pissed about that. And so are my parents. They're pissed about it.
Who do you want to sing the national anthem for game two?
Cardi B. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why I want anyone but JT. I'm sick of James Taylor. JT. Get some.
98.5 the Sports Hub. There you go. Two wonderful gentlemen out in front of Fenway Park. Enjoying themselves after the game one win. We'll have reaction to the game two win coming up at 8 o'clock. Also, Danny Ainge at 9 o'clock. There's been a lot of talk about the length and time of these games. Obviously, my son told me that he had friends in fifth grade that went to game one.
Okay.
And so if you paid for those tickets, I'd imagine you're planning on staying for the whole game. Which I have no idea how a child would function. It's hard enough to function as an adult. I have no idea how a child would function after that late a night. I mean, you're getting home 1 in the morning.
The only parents look, all right, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. You have a chance to go to the World Series. You're old enough to remember this. You'll look back at this for the rest of your life, and you'll be happy that you went.
Yeah, but there's
damn school tomorrow.
There's
you know.
A lot of... Well, okay, so you let him skip school the next day?
Or...
You know how long it would take a kid to get back on any kind of normal schedule after that?
You know the reasoning for this. You know the reasoning for this. This is a sports memory of a lifetime, right? And you'll remember this when you're 50 and you're talking to your kids. You know, right? My dad took me to a World Series game and the Red Sox won and it was great.
Then why didn't you take your kids?
Because it's too damn expensive.
All right. Well, that's how much of a memory it means to you. Guy spent $850 on a hockey ticket.
No, that was a baseball ticket. It was $400 for the hockey ticket.
Okay.
For the Stanley Cup.
All right. Well, Rob Manfred was on the Felger and Mazz show yesterday. I actually heard it live. And they discussed the length of games with Felger and Mazz. And we will have some of the highlights of that interview coming up in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We'll get to Felger and Mazz and Rob Manfred in just a second. But first, Andrew, go ahead.
Top of the morning, guys.
Hello.
So it's December 1980. James Taylor's living in New York City. He's got a bad drug problem, and his parents get wind of it, so they're coming to New York City to take him home, right? He's on the phone with his dad one night. There's a gunshot outside of his window. Doesn't think much about it. It's kind of a bad area in New York. Wakes up the next day. It was John Lennon got assassinated. He heard the gunshot.
Well.
All right.
I think I've heard that story.
I had not heard that.
I'm sick of James Taylor. F*** JT. Get somebody else in here.
The Chelsea, where, that was, yeah, that was the Dakota. That's not a bad neighborhood. The Dakota, was that Upper East Side?
I don't see John Lennon living in the sticks.
No, that's not a bad area. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Oh, right, bad phone, man. Sorry.
All right, so anyway, yesterday, quite a coup, the Felger and Mazz show got to MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred on the phone, and they were able to talk to him about what a lot of people were discussing, and that is the not only the length of games, is the time of games, and just how, I mean, I was telling John that my son said, I'm not sure this is true, but my son said that two of his classmates were at game one, and I said, I figure if you bought the tickets, you're staying for the whole game. And I don't know how you could deal with your kids for a week after that.
Oh, sure. I mean, that they're off for an entire time. I mean, just even something like simple as like Halloween, like they're off for the entire week.
Right.
And also on top of that, you've got a situation where the average ending time of these games, I think, has been like 12:20 until last night. Last night was a gift.
Yeah,
was
last great. Night went quick.
Just flew by, especially the first several innings. But that's not been the case for the majority of the postseason, and especially if you happen to be a baseball fan and you wanted to be able to keep track of what was going on in the National League or the NLCS, you know, during that championship. What was that one game ended at 2:30 in the morning, East Coast time? I mean, that's insane, and they should not be doing that for, I mean, your top four teams and a showcase of who's the best of the best, and your average age is already like 57 years old. So you're basically cutting out any kind of youth from being able to watch it because they got to stay and go to sleep at school.
Yeah, it would be like the NFL having the AFC Championship game on at, it's the same thing, but it's obvious, but follow me. Can you imagine living in a world where the AFC Championship game was on at 9 o'clock at night?
It wouldn't happen. They wouldn't do that. And on top of that, I thought this was a good question that Felger and Mazz brought up to Rob Manfred, and I thought it was a strange answer that he gave back.
And Rob, I'm sorry to keep pounding you with this, but it's a huge topic. When we talk baseball, Rob, I mean, just so you know this, we could do as much, if not more, on this topic than the actual game itself. In other words, fans are more interested in adjudicating this thing and figuring this thing out than they are who won the game or as many. I mean, it's that important.
Yeah, so I have to really, honestly, I think I've been more than patient on this topic. And I have to tell you, I really disagree with what you just said. I understand that people are interested in having a product that is as crisp as possible, that moves along, that isn't, you know, 4 hours in length. Having said that, I don't believe that people are more interested in the length of the game than who wins or loses the game. I think you pushed that one a little too far.
No. Of course, you know, they'd rather the
That's
Red
what
Sox
you just
win.
Said. That is what you just said.
But let me tell you what I meant, Rob. You know what I meant, and that is, as a topic on a talk show, they're as interested in you speeding up the game as they are in the results of the game. Of course, they'd rather the Red Sox win an 8-hour game than lose a 2-hour game. Of course, that's not what I meant. You know it. It's about what a baseball fan is interested in, and that is just the pace of this game. So I'm
you know
not
what?
Belabor,
I think one of the great things about talk radio is you get your most passionate fans out there. And I think one of the great things about our game is that our fans are super passionate and they have very strong opinions about what should be done with respect to the game. I think when we think about making changes to the game, which I've already said is an agenda item for us in the off season, we have to take those same passions into account, because the same person that calls you up on your talk show and talks about the game being too long would be the same guy who would call up and complain if we made too many rule changes to the game. That's the beauty of the sport. People love it so much. They're passionate about everything that we do.
All right. Well,
what a jackass.
I know. Well, they, in fairness, I mean, they'd asked him about it, and as they should have, they had asked him. That was about the fifth question about the length of games.
But he was dodging the answer, and so I have no problem with him coming back to it if he's being evasive.
He didn't really dodge it. He had said earlier that they can't make changes in the middle of the series to speed things up.
No, but I don't even
hang on a second. And then he said, "Well, yeah, they are. I mean, they're asking to speed up the game,
but not in the middle of the series."
I understand that, but his point being that in the off season that they were going to try some things. And then he said, you got to take into account the West Coast. And here's my thing, is that, first of all, the pace of play is what it is. I mean, there's really nothing that you can do about it, and it doesn't matter in the regular season. And I think Felger said something like this, but I've said it often on the show, is that baseball is great in that it's always there, and if you want to check it out, you can. Even my father, who watches almost every Cardinal game, doesn't watch every Cardinal game. I mean, he'll flip it on for a couple innings, maybe check back. That's great about baseball. And these playoff games are going to take longer. There's no question about it. And if you're passionate about one of the teams, it's not going to bother you that much. My problem is this. If you're playing to the West Coast, I was thinking about this last night. So basically you're playing the San Francisco and Los Angeles, which are big markets. But then you're screwing New York, Boston, D.C., Philadelphia, Miami, Detroit, Cleveland. And then even if I'm in the central time zone, it's not great if I'm in Chicago. So you're placating essentially two markets, and screwing eight, including, let's see, New York, including most of the major markets.
Dallas, too, right?
Well, that's if you go central, right?
Yeah.
Dallas and Houston as well.
Yes, because central, it's not great either. So I don't understand placating the West Coast. They don't in the NFL. They don't placate the West Coast. I mean, they have games at 10 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. I just don't get it. And you know what? The World Series, fine. Even if you did World Series, but why can't you have stupid games in the ALCS that start at 4 o'clock in the afternoon?
I was just thinking, Oakland played Seattle in London last week. That started at 6:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Yeah.
On the West Coast.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, the West Coast has to deal with it.
Yep.
You're dealing with two major markets out there, and then you're dealing basically with the rest of the country.
You know, it's funny. I came in this morning having read the quotes from that interview and having no idea that it was Felger and Maz. The reason is that I saw it in the L.A. Times this morning. Big paper.
Yep.
Los Angeles Times. And it says... right here, there's a little bit of East Coast prejudice in these questions, Commissioner Rob Manfred told an inquiring East Coast reporter Wednesday before game two.
The L.A. Times.
Appreciate it, L.A.
Way
Times.
Way to go.
For the plug.
It's nothing new.
it is nothing new. Right, the lack of respect is pretty standard, to be quite honest, when it comes to our station, but what can you do? But, I mean, that's like, it's not even told a radio station, an inquiring East Coast reporter. By the way, Felger
it doesn't even say Boston. Hey, and by the way, where are the most passionate baseball markets? Not L.A. and San Francisco.
Well, that's true. I mean, if you want to just go that way, like by stadium selling out, yeah, without a doubt.
Well, the argument would be the other way. Well, this is how we get them passionate, by putting baseball in prime time for these,
well,
for these
then,
markets.
John, I would say they've been in those markets since the 50s.
I know. Do you know the reasoning for Major League Baseball to do this?
If you want to grow a game with kids and you in the targeted 18 to 49-year-olds, which is everything but radio.
You play province. During the day. You play at 4 in the afternoon.
Yes.
You play no later than 7 p.m. Eastern time at night.
Yes.
You do all of those things. God forbid a 9-year-old should sit down and watch 6 or 7 innings, or maybe if on a special occasion, have the father let him stay up until 10 one night to watch a World Series game. That's actually doable.
Well, like when the Cubs won the World Series, people let their kids stay up till 11 because it was a 7 o'clock game in Chicago, 7:30 game in Chicago, whatever. And so it's still 11:15. But that's like a special thing. 12:15? Are you kidding me? And what if you like love baseball and want to see both series? It's crazy. Let's go to Tony. Tony, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Bear with me here. My dad's got a Norman Rockwell painting of telephone workers sitting up on a pole reading a newspaper, listening to a radio, and the headline of the paper says, World Series opener today. And it's broad daylight, and they're listening to the game because it's a day game. Why not?
I know that they haven't played day games in the World Series in a while, but I just remember being 9 years old and there being day games.
Well, why not follow the money? I mean, they're going to get more money to advertise in primetime. That's just going
you
to happen.
You can still have a primetime game, but I'd rather...
You miss an hour of a window at the beginning.
Felgrim has had a good thing, is that the end of the game... I believe the end of the game one, the rating was quite a bit lower in the last three innings than it had been at the beginning of the game.
Oh, sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, so that's, if I'm an advertiser, screw you, then I'm not paying as much.
Last World Series day game, 1987. That's any day of the week. Last weekday day game, 1972.
Oh, wow, I thought 1984. What are you going to do? All right, but, you know, it's very difficult to stay up, and some people will go, oh, what are you complaining about? And to that, I'll be like, get a job. Get a job. I mean, go get a job. It's not, you know, most people require more than 5 hours sleep. It's a nutty thing. I mean, and then plus you have to go up against James Corden. And you're never going to win that. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That is hit hard in the air to left. This postseason that this Red Sox outfield is able to haul in. What a catch.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich, and there's been talk of almost magically. You know, I don't believe, I believe in a higher power, but Rich, I don't believe in natural symbols or things that can tell us that nature is telling us something, but there were two rainbows, one before each game. And I'm starting to change my opinion because yesterday, Pedro Martinez, David Ortiz, Kevin Millar, Tim Wakefield, Jason Veritek, and Keith Foulke, and Alan Embry, all throughout first pitches, honoring the 2004 championship team. And I believe that the rainbows were there to thank the Red Sox for not inviting Curt Schilling. Now, why? Because Curt Schilling has alienated one of the very states that is part of the quote-unquote Red Sox Nation when he took a bunch of money from the Rhode Island government to create a video game company that he had no business starting and therefore ruined the lives of many and put Rhode Island behind a big eight ball. And then he tried to make up for his karmatic failure by driving
trailers down to Houston in a grandstanding gesture that was stupid, where he left the guy who listens to our show's trailer in a parking lot and forgot to pick it up for a while.
Yeah, the guy kept calling Schilling's people and saying, where's my trailer that you borrowed? I let you borrow it, and you're supposed to give it back to me within like 2 weeks. It's been several months, and that was the one that they found broken down in that shopping center, still filled with supplies that people had paid for.
No, but
by the way, that's on the people who trusted Curt Schilling to do something with their money that the Red Cross couldn't have done, or J.J. Watt, whoever he was working with, who was actually there and they had a plan.
Well, no, but
his was, let's load up so much crap into a trailer that can't hold it that it will break down miles from where we left, and then we'll abandon it.
Well, Rich, in fairness, I mean, what could be more practical than taking supplies from Massachusetts and driving them to Houston?
Right there. You could purchase the supplies somewhat closer.
Yes, yes.
To where the place you're going is.
No, you have to. The caravan has to start in Massachusetts.
Sure.
That's where it has to start.
Oh, man. And like at the times he's just gotten fired for simply just not putting memes on Facebook.
Right.
All you had to do was stop putting the memes up.
You know you're a man of great intelligence when you rely on other people's memes to get your point across.
Or not selling your Nazi memorabilia. I mean, just what are
weird.
You doing? That was a little strange.
A little strange.
Which, by the way, you can Google that. It's there.
And I'll say this. If you go into someone's house, and I won't take any arguments against this. If you go to someone's house and they're showcasing a bunch of Nazi stuff, not going to stick around.
Exit. And you stage
can,
left.
And you can call in all you want. I'm not taking your call. I don't want to hear contrary of opinion to it. Well, he was just a collector. Okay.
Yeah, he's a World War II buff.
I collect old cadaver penises. Like, no, I don't want to hang out with you if you have Nazi stuff
hanging
around.
If you have anything with a swastika on it.
Yeah, I'm kind of out the
door. I probably don't want to be friends with you.
Yeah, I'm going to say you're out the door.
Curt Schilling last night, and I knew it as soon as I saw this, and you knew immediately.
You
you're like,
call it.
Oh, Curt Schilling, this is going to be a thing. This is going to become something. So last night, Curt Schilling did respond. A lot of people were saying, hey, you know, you weren't there. What'd you think? And he came out with a tweet that was kind of simple. He just said, oh, well, I get to keep my three wings and three trophies, so it's all good. And I was like, all right, just wait. Just wait. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be an implosion.
He's going to get fired up. He's going to start reading, like, super conservative stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to start going, yeah. He's going to be reading his Twitter and going, yeah.
And he knew there was a hint of it in the household because Schilling's wife tweeted, ownership sure didn't have a problem with him when slicing and shooting his ankle up to pitch.
Yeah,
because
he did him some good.
Right.
Unlike now where he would be a massive PR disaster.
Is it always better to fly eight men in rather than ask one that stayed and raised his family here
and bankrupt. 16 miles? And helped bankrupt the state.
Right, he did that.
Thank
as well.
God you stayed here. Thank God that didn't happen in Pennsylvania.
Now, Dan Shaughnessy was actually at the game last night. He was asking around, and he talked to a high-level Red Sox executive about Schilling's absence, and the answer was, we did not reach out to him, but it's not out of spite. It was originally just going to be Pedro and David and Wake and Millar, but we heard from a few others that are included. And by the way, I would just say purely from a fan perspective, who people are saying, it was such a major part of 04 and he should be there. And how can you not invite him? Well, to that I say, Manny Ramirez wasn't there either. And I don't believe he was asked. So this isn't just like he's the only one left out of the party. So stop with the hope for baseball reasons. But I think we all believe it was other reasons. You know who else does too? Curt Schilling. Because this morning he went off on a Facebook tirade. Now, this is...
Really?
I guarantee... This just came out like a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
Now, I guarantee you this is going to be part one, because part two is he's going to get on his little thing where he wears the headset and start... and
oh, in the
his
office.
Nose.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah. And the camera's not really on him.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's kind of askew.
Yeah, right. So he went and on a nice little Twitter diatribe. Would you like to... By the way, before we do this, would you like to play a little bit of bingo?
Yes.
Okay. Things like things you believe he is going to mention?
Liberal elites.
The left. The left is responsible.
I mean, the left is going to be in it a million times.
Yeah.
Liberal elites, free speech,
think he'll drop a Make America Great in there somewhere?
No.
I mean, that's,
no.
See, I don't even think it's that. It's just anytime anything goes wrong in his life, he or somebody
he's
has...
He's going to blame the media.
I'm sure... seems like that's his
liberal
greatest
Liberal elites... The media,
himself?
Well, he's gonna talk about how his ankle was all screwed up.
Iron Man. Okay, let's. Okay. Do we have a Curt Schilling theme by any chance? Is
it... Yeah, did Jackass.
Oh, me and a jump, Jason.
Thank you.
Well, he did go after Nazi stuff.
Well, that's right. This is the scene where
he's... This is the caravan. Yeah. This is the caravan where he destroys everybody. Yes, I remember. He's trying to catch up to the Ark.
Yeah, I remember. He's kind of getting, you know, the trucks and stuff. Yeah. Earlier today, this is for Curt Schilling. Earlier today, I ventured onto Twitter, saw Curt Schilling trending, and immediately panicked. By the way, this was... Oh, this was written not just now. This is written at 1:45. Because it's six hours.
He was up.
Yeah, so he was up. He was up stirring.
Pacing around, scouring the internet for mentions of himself.
What did I do? What did I say? I very lightly clicked on the topic, only to see what it was all about. If you want to know the, quote, story around my and my family's departure from this organization, I'm assuming he's talking about the Red Sox, I only ever told it once. He said, click on this link to hear it. I went to the whole story. After hearing that, I hope that there is at least a small understanding of my feelings for the POS that did what they did. Already calling the Red Sox pieces of crap. Now I have never been worried or scared or concerned about showing my emotions or telling people how I feel. What they did or did not do tonight was done 100% on purpose and completely expected. Were my feelings hurt in one sense? Yes. Not being able to be on the field with the men who I always will share that 2004 bond with, and not being able to once again thank the folks who paid for the tickets and whose lives changed with ours sucks. Well, he's never been able to do that before. They've never showcased the 2004 Red Sox. But anyone that knows me knows that no matter what you think of my beliefs and integrity and my word, anyone that knows me knows how I feel about them. They are, in my opinion, the core of a man. White, privileged, rich men hate me. People who have and will again ruin others' lives to make themselves appear flawless. People who've never broken a sweat, cried, or bled for something bigger than themselves think ill of me. I think that's exactly what my father would have wanted for me as a man, husband, and father. If you did listen to that podcast, I hope you remember I was not the only person they tried this with. One thing I do know for a fact, most every night of my life I have slept soundly. That's not to say I'm perfect. I'm far from it and always will be, but my dad told me that would be the case going in. But I've held true to my loves, passions, beliefs, and faith in a world desperate to make people abandon all of them. People say you've paid the price, and I honestly disagree. What I've been able to experience is so far beyond anything I could have ever hoped for. Post-baseball life has been a bit harder, but if you know me, you know I'm every bit as get it done and whatever it takes as was the day I retired. The anger for me is what people have done and said. First off, 99% of the complaints and disparaging comments are complete lies and total BS. Mm. To this day, no one has ever provided even an ounce of evidence to prove or convince people I am a racist. I've never said you were racist.
No one ever said you were racist.
Why not a single teammate ever, 22 plus years, ever came out and said I was a racist, bigot, or any other BS tag liberals want to pin on me?
There it is.
No cab driver, clubhouse guy, hotel staffer, or fan has ever or will come out with that kind of story about me because it does not exist. If nothing else in this country has moved to prove that they can or will try to ruin you if you're an independent thinker. Newsflash, I am, my wife, my kids, and always will be. When that description is put on good people, it's a good thing. I wanted to write this because I've been overwhelmed with DMs, PMs, and texts to a level I have no concept of people apologizing for the Sox. No need. I will sleep soundly again tonight because I know what I did in 2004, and the men on that field know what I did. Most importantly, the men who sit in that ivory tower and pass their judgment from on high know exactly what I did. And it shames them as men, knowing they'll never in their lives be able to do anything remotely close to that. Real quick, let me just drop in there. How did they do him wrong?
As I remember it, there was a medical problem with Schilling, and they wanted to, the last year he was with the team, I think it was his shoulder, and he wanted to get a surgery done, and the Red Sox pressed him to pitch, and it wound up costing him the entire year, and that was it for him. I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, if that's
the case,
that kind of sucks. That does suck. He said, so no, I didn't get invited. I didn't get snubbed. I just didn't get an invitation from a few weak men who've spent their entire lives paying and watching other men achieve. My dad always told me never, ever live your life to make people you don't know
so
like
they're
you.
Paying and watching people fail.
Yeah, it's one of the most peace-bringing things he ever said to me. But then again, thank you guys for the insane outpouring. It does matter, and I sincerely appreciate every one of them.
Well,
so
there you go. There's a vast conspiracy against him, and if you've never played professional baseball and you've only made yourself a multi-billionaire that can buy a baseball team, you've really failed as a human being. Would you rather own the team or play for the team?
Well, I would say I'd probably rather own it. But
yeah, I would rather. Yeah.
Playing for it wouldn't suck. It would be pretty great.
No, but if you were asking me that I'm watching people run around, yeah, I'm a billionaire who's bought essentially a toy that makes me hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars. So thank you. I'm the big failure. All right, so we'll be right back.
Sports Hutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, this song keeps coming up.
When that song comes out, you got to immediately cut it.
All right, Sean, go ahead.
Hello, how you doing tonight, guys?
Hey, what's up, Sean? How's it going?
Oh, okay, a little upset with you guys this morning. Like you said, there was a late game last night. A lot of us didn't catch it. We'd like to hear about the game. I really don't care about Chris Young. I really don't care about a drunk guy from game one. I really don't care about James Taylor. I want to hear about the Lincoln that we had last night. Can we talk about that? It just sounds like a rainbow list.
That's not a bad way of putting it.
Well, we have talked about it. We're going to talk about it more, obviously. I mean, you know, is there any specific topic you would like us to touch on?
I mean,
on?
We can tell you this. Is
like you said, how about the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning that both of us had to go to bed and we missed it? You're a morning show. This is the morning time.
No, you're absolutely right. And we did that in the 6 o'clock hour.
But I will tell you this, is that if you missed the game, you missed perfection by the bullpen, everything that was a problem. Joe Kelly
is a monster.
He was a monster last night. He was the last guy to make the playoff roster, and there was some consternation about why he made the playoff roster. If you're worried about Craig Kimbrell, that was an actual real save situation that he was involved with last night.
Lights out again. It doesn't matter what Cora does. It's perfect.
Sean, think about it. Oh, he's gone now. But, I mean, the things that you thought were the most suspect going into this series or going into the postseason – have been your strong points. They've been your secret weapons. David Price, the last two games, I mean, last night was excellent. The way he got out of that jam in the fourth inning,
limited the damage.
Was unbelievable. And Joe Kelly, as you said, I mean, we talked about the stats this morning.
Joe Kelly,
three months during the summer, he had over an 8 ERA
in July.
He gets in there bang, bang, bang last night.
On July 31st, Joe Kelly had an ERA of 4.5 and had just finished giving up 17 runs in 22 and a third innings. And Matt Barnes, they left him alone. Barnes gave up 10 runs in August alone. And somehow Dave Dombrowski looked at that and went, I'm fine with it. We're good.
I know. I'm
sure these guys will be good in the playoffs. Remember, Tyler Thornburg was this guy. You know, the reason we didn't make a move at the deadline is that Tyler Thornburg is pitching better. Tyler Thornburg is nowhere to be found. He's at home at this point. And you had Kelly, Barnes, Bobby Pointer, Brandon Workman, Heath Hembree, and Tyler Thornburg in your bullpen. And somehow Dombrowski looked at that and went, we're good. We're fine. I'm sure everything will be fine. And you know what? He's right.
All right. Let's not go crazy with the praise for Dombrowski.
Well,
I mean,
it's his job to go find another guy.
I don't have to.
Look, you don't have to.
He made a very good deal to get Eovaldi. And yes, it was an underrated deal at the time and absolutely, I get
it. But in August, in August, they weren't thinking about using starters in the eighth inning. I mean, it's somehow Dombrowski, whether it be by innate baseball skill as a GM or just by blind luck, he got it right. And Alex Cora has put guys, for instance, it was supposed to be Brazier and Barnes in the seventh and eighth. Neither of those guys got on their feet last night, and it still worked.
Yep.
It's amazing. All of this has come together. Everyone who gets a pinch hit opportunity, like Eduardo Nunez, everybody. JD, what are the odds that JD Martinez, the best run producer in the lineup, gets back-to-back chances with the bases loaded in games one and two? And he whiffs in game one, and they think, oh, he'll never get another chance like that. It happens the next night, and he comes through with the two-run single that wins the game.
That is weird, too, because I you know, the report from Ian Brown said that Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to start on the bench out in Los Angeles, but and which, you know, Cora doesn't feel comfortable moving Mookie to second, but with JD Martinez in right field,
It is interesting because he was pretty banged up last night when he tried to run.
He turned his ankle over running second on the
double. They won World Series with Manny Ramirez playing left field. The least of my concerns.
Multiple.
Yes. The least. That's what I said. Siri, I guess
that's the best point this morning.
I forgot. I could give a rat's ass how well he plays right field. JD Martinez is playing. All right. We got. Young Nicholas out in front of Fenway Park last night. There'll be no commercials here, just headlines.